Christ's teaching here in the Beatitudes is familiar to us. Perhaps we are over familiar with these words. So this evening I'd like us to take a fresh look at Jesus' teaching here and a fresh look at ourselves. Firstly, it will help us to understand what Matthew is thinking in the setting of this scene. It's set on the mountaintop. And Matthew will end his gospel on the mountaintop with the Great Commission. We remember the transfiguration of Jesus took place on the mountaintop. And Christ would die on the cross on the Mount of Calvary. So when we find ourselves in the Bible on the mountain, then we know there will be an encounter with the living God. And we can look back even further, thousands of years, to another mountaintop, Sinai, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And in this Sermon on the Mount, Matthew is portraying Jesus as the new Moses, the new lawgiver, new rules, new ways of living. But Jesus isn't laying down laws on stone. He is writing his word into people's hearts and lives, speaking to the place of their deepest need. And I believe he will do that this evening. For we each come today with things on our hearts and minds. Deep needs where we need to hear what God is saying. And today I believe God will speak words of blessing upon us. And perhaps that is the first fresh angle for us this evening in these familiar words. There is a trap hidden in the Beatitudes that I know I have fallen into, and perhaps you might have also. And that trap is as simple as it is subtle. That it's believing Jesus is setting up the conditions of blessing, rather than actually blessing his hearers. When I hear the Beatitudes, it's hard for me not to hear Jesus stating the terms under which I might be blessed. So, for instance, when I read those words, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," I tend to think, am I pure enough in heart? Or should I try to be more pure in heart? Or when I hear, "Blessed are the peacemakers," I can think, yes, I really should be more committed to building bridges and making peace. And I wonder whether our difficulty with the Beatitudes isn't symptomatic of a larger problem that most of us have, that namely we are far less eager to be blessed than God is to bless us. Or maybe eager isn't quite the right word. Maybe it's more that we have a hard time believing that God wants to bless us unconditionally. Sometimes a Christian can have a distorted picture of God, where we only imagine God as a stern, demanding lawgiver, and so it seems out of character for God to bless without requirement. That isn't the primary picture of God in the Bible, but it may be one that people can be taught and we can have a hard time letting go of. Or maybe that it's we don't know God well enough to recognize God's grace. Maybe it's that we know ourselves too well to feel worthy of that grace. After all, we are very familiar with our own faults and limitations, our insecurities and failings. And knowing ourselves this well, and knowing that God knows us even better, we may find it hard to believe that God loves us and blesses us unconditionally. For very little, if anything, in our world is unconditional. We're used to paying for our mistakes, paving our own way, towing the line, and reaping the consequences if we don't. So it's unsettling and inconceivable to imagine that God behaves differently, showering us with blessing apart from anything we have done, earned, or deserved. So let's be clear that Jesus here isn't setting up conditions of blessing, but rather just simply blessing the crowd, one by one, speaking to their need. So let us see this mountaintop scene with fresh eyes today, and let us recognize ourselves in the crowd. For the scene that we picture here is not that of a lecture hall, but more like a doctor's waiting room. Jesus was not just teaching their minds, he was touching their hearts, the great physician, bringing healing power. So Jesus' words, they're less of a commandment and more of a bestowing, an imparting of encouragement and support. What Jesus is giving here is not information to learn, but a motivation to love. These are words of grace and love for his children. So what are these words of blessing that Jesus is speaking? Well, perhaps before I answer that, we ought to just think for a moment on what this word blessing means. The story is told of a man who bought a brand new luxury electric car, a Tesla. And he wanted to have his car blessed. So he went to a Catholic priest and he said, "Father, please will you pray a blessing over my Tesla?" And the Catholic priest thought for a moment and he replied, "Yes, but what's a Tesla?" And the man thought, "Well, I see that you wouldn't really appreciate the significance of this purchase in my life." So he moved on and he went to the Baptist minister and he said, "I've just bought a Tesla. I'd like you to pray a blessing on it." And the Baptist minister replied the same. He said, "Yes, of course I will, but what's a Tesla?" So finally he went to the Methodist minister. And he said, "I've just bought a Tesla." I think Wynne knows where this is going, do you? And he said, "Will you please pray a blessing on it for me?" And the Methodist minister replied, "Wow, a Tesla. What an amazing car. I've always wanted one of those." "Yes, of course. But by the way, what's a blessing?" Well, the word blessing is vague. It's a bit fuzzy. We say, God bless, but what do we mean? Is it a warm sense that God will do something, somehow, sometime to someone? In the Middle Ages, when someone sneezed, you said, God bless you, fearing that they may catch the plague. And the saying developed as a way to ward off the fear of evil, disease, and death. But today, we reclaim these words, God bless, to signify not fear, but joy. Not disease, but delight. Not death, but God's new life. The Bible word translated blessed or happy here is the Greek word makarios, a word with great meaning and purpose. Here the word blessed or happy means more than being jolly or cheerful because the sun's out and things are going well. This makarios, this happiness, this blessedness is a deep peace, a deep contentment that isn't dependent on pleasant circumstances. This is a happiness not centered on outward material comfort, but centered on our inward spiritual life. Blessing is about God's favor and honor upon our life. A blessing is something without price. Money cannot buy it. It is giving. A blessing is something worth having. A blessed life is a life worth living. And on the mountaintop, Jesus looks with favor upon this crowd. In this scene, the doctor's waiting room, he sees their manifold needs and he gives his diagnosis. So let us picture Christ here with searching eyes, speaking words of blessing on those disciples and on the crowd. Let us briefly hear those Beatitudes again and consider their meaning as they are spoken over you tonight. Firstly, Jesus lovingly looks at the spiritually helpless, those who knew their complete and utter dependency on God. And he declared, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." These are the people who are humble, who do not think of themselves more highly than they ought. You see, the journey to the kingdom of heaven begins with this first step of acknowledging your spiritual bankruptcy and utter dependency on God's amazing grace. Less of me means more room for God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus must have seen men or women who were mourning, who were weeping, and said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Comforted by the Holy Spirit. Many things happen to us in life that bring sorrow, that bring us grief. But God will comfort us when we turn to him. He is always there for us. And we can also understand this call, blessed are those who mourn, to remember that there are times when we must also mourn or be sad when we do wrong things that make God sad. And we will be forgiven and find comfort when we mourn our sin. And then Jesus declares in verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Learn to be gentle with people and with things. Don't try to get your way by coercion or force. In your gentleness and contentment, you will understand what life on earth is truly about. You are blessed. And then Jesus looked into the hearts of those who had great longings. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, not for food, but for righteousness, for they will be filled. In other words, be hungry to learn what God wants you to do. Be hungry for God's will. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what is right and just. We are to work hard to make sure that all people are treated justly. In this you are blessed. Jesus continues, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Forgive others and ask for forgiveness when you sin. Let compassion, not anger, rule your life. And then verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Jesus could see the pure in heart, the pure devotion of his disciples, those who are single-minded in their following. We can be pure in heart when we fill our minds with good thoughts. We know in this world of senses, it is easy to fill our hearts and minds with those things that are unclean. So we must be careful of the things we watch, read, and hear. And Jesus says, you are blessed. You will see God. Jesus then exclaimed, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons and daughters of God. Work to bring people together. Don't contribute to quarrels and fights. Look for ways to solve problems peacefully. He sees the disciples who are at peace with God and can extend that peace to others, to be a non-anxious presence. He says, you peacemakers are blessed. You have learnt what it means to be God's children. And finally, Jesus could not ignore the distress of those disciples who were being persecuted for their faith. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Jesus is saying, in those times, you are in good company with the ones who were persecuted before you. You are truly blessed, and you learn more from the hard times than from the good times. In difficult times, keep trusting in God. Lean hard upon him and stand up for what is right. And as you stand your ground, you will stand strong in God's kingdom. These are the blessings God has for you this evening. May you receive his word of blessing in your life, in your need. And as you go from here, never forget that God is a God who delights to bless. He lavishes his love and grace upon us. We are God's own beloved and blessed children. And may God's Spirit give us strength in this week ahead to live out these topsy-turvy values. So stay a while tonight and this week on the mountainside with Christ. Listen to him, learn from him, and be blessed by him, that you may be a blessing to others. Amen.